All right. Isn't our band awesome?
Yeah.
Woo! You always need some woos to make you feel good. Everybody doing good? Looks like you survived Halloween. Yeah? I don't know why we torture ourselves staying up so late. I mean, we did it like in my teens and then in my 20s, but now that I have a kid that we pump full of candy, and then he won't go to sleep. And so it's just like this never-ending cycle that just never, never stops. And then you get older, and then you stay at home, and then all the kids come to your door, and then they want all the candy. You know, it's just this thing. Why do we do this to ourselves, people? When can we start at like 5? Start Halloween at 5 o'clock. That way we're done by 8, in bed by a reasonable time, because then we can get like, because we get another hour of sleep, which is great. And then we can just pack it on top. Can y'all hear me okay? We good? Yeah? All right. I need to make an adjustment here. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Drafting table. All right. I didn't get to have my donut, so I'm going to have my donut right now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Can I talk to y'all and have a donut? So my favorite donut ever since I was a little kid is this one right here. From Shipley's Donuts. It is the white cream-filled donut. It is amazing. I heard it. Ugh. It's good to me. It's more cream-filled donuts for me. Y'all want a donut? Anybody? Everybody get donuts? You good? All right. Hold on. We'll get going. Just give me a second. So good. You know, and it's not really the outside. Because the outside is just a regular donut. The cream filling is what does it. You know, there's so many, such a variety of cream filling donuts. Like, when you go to the donut shop, oh, one more bite. That's good. Okay. I should have brought a napkin up with me. Hannah's on the job. You go in, you look at the table, and you see all the donuts out there, and you're trying, like, if you've never been there before, you don't know what's in there. And I don't know how long it took me to fall onto this one, but I'm sure I did some testing as a child. You know, just grab a random donut, try it, spit it out, because I didn't like it. There's all out there. And what they do, they try to trick you at the donut shop. See, they'll take the donut, and they'll make it beautiful. They'll throw things all over it, you know, and it'll be like, oh, this looks so cool. There's strudel on it, like with icing and chocolate and all that, and you look at, and then you go and bite in it, and the filling, ugh. Recently, I went to this new shop, and one of my kryptonites is marshmallow, and when I see marshmallow, especially if it's melted marshmallow, I gotta have it. I just have to have it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I went to this place, new place, never tried their stuff before, and they're kind of, you know, kind of upscale donut place. And I look, and I see this donut, and it is toasted with marshmallow on top, and it's filled. I'm like, surely, it's got to be like chocolate in there. It's like a s'more kind of a thing. And so I get it. Oh, I want that one. I'm so excited. And then I bite into it, and it's filled with lemon.
Ew.
Right. I was like, what is this? It's an abomination. Why would you give this to me? The marshmallow is ruined by the tart of the lemon. I was very disappointed. But they dolled it up. They made it look like, and they fooled me. And so what you'll find are that people are like donuts. People will disguise their outside to doll themselves up, to make them think that you're something they're not, to get you to partake in them, to become friends with them, whatever it may be. And then later on, as you begin to find out what they're filled with, and you realize, I don't really like you. This happens a lot in the dating world. as some of y'all that are still single are probably knowing. So some of them, you have like, got this right here. You come in and like they're just filled with lemon. They're just sour. They're just, you know, got that going on like right there. See that? I don't like this one anyways, so it's okay. I'll save that one for you, for Nathan. And then you have people that are there's no filling at all. There's just nothing in them. And there's some that had just, they got a hole. They got a hole in them. Or they're tiny and, you know, just little people. There's nothing inside. So you got all these scenarios of people, what they can be. And we begin to learn that the filling really matters. And as you grow older and you date more and more people or you make new friends, you begin to realize what is filled them in their life begins to matter in how you interact with them and if you want to even be close to them. My hands are going to be sticky the entire service. So recently I watched this this new movie that Kaylee got us to watch. She told us she cried during it. It's a cartoon. It's called Inside Out. And I was we got it for Gage, and we were watching it. And if you haven't seen it, it's about the emotions inside, and they have a character to each emotion. It's hilarious. Hannah bawled like a baby. All I'm going to say, if you haven't seen it, is Bing Bong. That's all I'm going to say is Bing Bong. Get ready for Bing Bong. And that's what Kaylee said to me, and I was like, all right, Bing Bong, okay. She's losing her mind. But yes, so it was really cool to see them in like they're growing up with a child and they're inflicting these emotions on her by the things that are happening on the outside. So they see it and then they want to do emotion. There's anger, there's disgust, there's fear, there's all these things. And it's necessary to make her function. And it's really cool and it's funny how they play it out, but it made me realize that I was watching it and I was hoping Gabe was learning from that, that it's the things that happen on the outside, it's how you choose to accept them. How you choose to react to them is what affects you on the inside. Because anything could happen to you on the outside. There's all sorts of problems. There's good things that could happen. And it's how we choose to react. Do we want to feel sad about it? Do we want to feel good about it? And so we've learned that what's on the inside matters. How we react, what are we filled with? Are we filled with anger and are we filled with love? Are we filled with joy and all those things? So we know this is important for people to be filled with the right thing. So in designing our church and our core values, we have three core values. Our first one we're going to talk about today is Christ-centered. We decided that this is going to be a big thing for us. We need to be centered with Christ. Is our church going to be filled with gossip? Is it going to be filled with pride? Or is it going to be filled with Jesus? And so we have this written out. I'm going to read it to you. And this is our first core value, being Christ-centered. It says, we are focused on Christ's mission of bringing in and leading those not yet on their faith journey. We accomplish this by being biblically based in our faith and practices and by being spiritually animated in our words, actions, and plans. Donut makes me thirsty. So that was a lot. I'm sure that was a lot to swallow. That was a lot of words right there. And basically, it comes around to just being Jesus. All that's defined is that we look at the Bible, we look at Jesus and what he's done, and we decide that's what we're going to be. That's being Christ-centered. So it's just a long, fancy sentence and phrase to say that we are from the inside out to look like Jesus. We're going to be Christ-centered. But what does that look like? What does it look like to be Christ-centered? What was Jesus filled with? And this is a cool part of Scripture, and there's so much to unpack, but I'm going to try to stay focused on what we're talking about today, but it's just so powerful. All the roads kind of lead into one place at the beginning of Jesus' journey. Because prior to Jesus, there was God's word. Now, God's word, that was his promises. That was what he told the people that he would do. And God's word, it was better than gold. It was better than written in stone because he created all that. And it means it was going to happen. That means that they were going to get it. So it was something they held on to. It was God's word. And so the cool thing about Jesus is Jesus didn't just show up. It wasn't a surprise on the scene. He was prophesied for thousands of years prior to his coming. And so John, we're going to be looking in John, the Gospel of John. And John the Baptist, he was a already very active minister, well-respected. Saw him maybe a little crazy as far as the legal system goes, because he defied the legal system because he was followed God and not man, but he was seen as a spiritual leader. He was seen as someone that knew kind of what was going on. He had his thumb on the heartbeat of what God does and who this Messiah is to come. So they call on him, and he comes, and this is the very beginning of John. They call on him to come, have him talk about, like, what is this? What are we expecting? And in this first, you know, first couple of things, he talks about what Jesus is. He describes them, what is Jesus? And it says in John 1, 14, this is John's account. It said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.'" So the outward appearance, the law came from Moses. That's basically the actions. Ten Commandments, those types of things. These were the outward things that you do to express, you know, in relationship with God and how to treat other people. So that was the outward appearance. That was the outside of the donut. That's what you're supposed to look like on the outside. But then Jesus came, and he is the filling. He's the thing that fulfills those laws. And I'm telling you, this is such a packed portion of Scripture right here and what he's talking about. There's so many things, so many directions to go with it. But he was saying the Word became flesh. So he's saying God's promises are now real. They are in flesh. They are in purpose. The thing that was prophesied before is now. And so the cool thing about it is he's talking about Jesus. And so what does he say? The Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is full of grace and truth. That is what he's filled with. So to be a church, to look like that, don't worry, it's the ice maker. I'm not getting attacked by animals or anything like that. He's full of grace and truth. So what does that look like for us? What does that look like to the church? So grace is, we can translate it to grace is love, and truth is honesty. Love and honesty. So grace is very messy. I don't know if you've had to get into a point where you've had been forced to open up your heart and love somebody that's unlovable. That is messy. And opening our doors, saying that anybody's welcome to come hear about Jesus, we're going to get some people that might not be socially accepted. It's going to be messy. We're going to have to, people that might be uncomfortable by them, say, hey, they deserve love too. Let's be open to them. Grace is messy. It's going to come down to those moments where they keep failing and failing and failing, and you have to go pull them out of the muck, have to pull them whatever situation they're in, because it takes grace. It's messy. And so it's not easy being with grace. And also truth and honesty. See, people always see truth, like when they read the scripture, grace and truth. They think that the truth is, let me come slam you and tell you what you're doing wrong. People get that confused. Although the truth might have to steer you away from things that you want to do that are self-serving, the truth he's talking about is the truth of Jesus. The truth that is inside of him, that he is real, that God is real, and his word is true. His promises are true. So how do we interact with people in grace and truth? We accept them, we love them, and we're honest with them. That doesn't mean we push our agendas. You'll find a lot of the time that, and I thought the order of the words were not by accident, grace and truth. First, we love them, we build relationship with them, we accept them for who they are, and then we tell them about the good news, the truth of Jesus, the good news of God, that he really loves them. He's not some man up in the sky with thunderbolts throwing him down, trying to make your life hard. He really loves you, and he wants to create a relationship with you. So what are we filled with at our church? We're filled with people. And so the question what are we filled with individually? Because that's where it starts. Because we're filled with people, and what are those people filled with individually? Are we filled with grace and truth? So what are you filled with? Are you filled with Netflix? Are you filled with hobbies, sports? Not to say these are bad things, not at all. What I'm talking about is where you will find what people, what's in them, is where they spend their time and their money. And are you spending any time or money for God? Are you reading the scriptures? Are you, some people get so frustrated, I just slid. Some people get so frustrated in life because they're comfortable and they're cruising along and life is good, and then they hit a rough patch. Something bad happens to them. They get laid off. They lose their significant other. So many things. Their car gets totaled. And then they're all strung out on the floor of like, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you, blah, 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 you know, all these things. And we want to blame and we feel like we're alone. The thing is, we didn't spend any time filling ourselves with the stuff that we need. The things that helps us in those moments, that gives us the faith that in when that stuff goes bad, that Jesus is going to come along and help us along. You have to have faith in that. So what are you filled with? What do you fill your days with? What are your nights filled with? What do you think about all the time? That's going to be what you are. That's what's going to come out on the outside. If you're full of pride, it's all going to be about me, me, me. If you're full of lust, you know where that goes. You're going to be after it. Bad in a bad way. If you're full of fear, you're going to be scared of everything. You're not going to want to be vulnerable. Put yourself out there to help others. If you're filled with, I don't know, there's so many things that there could be. So many things. There's so many emotions inside of us that we can let them take over. Not that they're not necessary and not that they're not good in the moment, but we can't let them win over us. So what are you filled with? It's those bad moments in life and how we choose to react to them is what's going to make us in our makeup. So us individually, each person, you have a responsibility in this church to emulate grace and truth. Because if you come here and people come to the church and we're not emulating this individually, not everybody's going to be on the A game. I understand that. I'm not always on my A game. Most of the time I'm not, and I guess I mask it well. I don't know. I say jokes to distract people from it. But what are you filled with, and what are you presenting to this church? Because if we can all band together and keep grace and truth, there will never be a person that darkens that doorstep that doesn't feel welcome. There's never going to be a person that feels lost because everybody's offering the truth. So if we do this individually, then we get to the church filling, the church donut. And so on the outside of our church donut, we can dress it up. We can throw banners all over the thing. We can do cool graphics and stuff like that. And that's all great and wonderful, and it might lure people in. You know, it might be, oh, that looks like a cool place. I'm going to go check it out. You know, their graphics are on point. The beards look great, look even better today. You don't have to have a beard to come here also, just know that. it's my choice. We could have all those things. They have the greatest coffee. We could have the most awesome donuts, and that might get people interested in coming here, and that's what all those things are for. But if we're filled with the wrong thing, if we're a church filled with gossip, slander, if we're a church filled with pride, just out for our own well-being, for a church that's after money, just for ourselves, that's also a very bad thing, greed, then they're not going to stay. Either they're going to be adopted into the sickness that's here, or they're going to leave. And I would hope that those people leave rather than being adopted into the sickness. So what are we filled? What's our church filling? And this is a hard, I'm not saying this is easy. It's not easy. Because all throughout Scripture, Paul, through Corinthians and things like that, if you read through those, you feel like Paul is mean, but he's really not. He just has a lot of problems to deal with amongst the people because churches can get ugly. Because all those things that I described can all come up, and all can happen. And that was the first church when he was speaking to them. See, everything before that was all unhealthy, and so he's trying to correct that. So through those, you'll find him correcting the church. He's like trying to stop fights, trying to stop division from happening, and there's all these do's and don'ts, and don't do this, and don't do that, be nice to each other, let somebody lead you, don't worship that idol, and all these things. Don't add to Jesus, let Jesus be Jesus. And so there's all these things, and so But there's one thing to follow that will take care of all of those. There's one thing that we can do that will make it not in the act easy, but in the mental capacity easy to understand and go forward. And it's a scripture that I spoke on the first Sunday. And this covers everything that we do. This will cause us to act in grace and truth constantly. And it's John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You are also to love one another. If we just follow this, done. Grace and truth happen. Because treat others how he is treated. How did Jesus treat us? In full sacrifice, in full love. He put himself out there in the most worst way for us. So if we will put ourselves out there, I'm not saying to go get on a cross or anything. Don't do that. Don't hurt yourself in any way physically. What I'm saying is that sacrifice time, sacrifice moments, sacrifice being comfortable for others, and you will find fulfillment there. You will begin to find that you're being filled with the right stuff and the grace and truth is inside of you. You will find love for people that you've never found love before for them. The people that were just the annoying things in your life that were just constant at you, you'll find love for them. And so what are we filled with? If we, as a church, if we keep after this, we'll be filled with grace and truth. And if it all begins here, if we decide now that this is what this church is going to be, a place that's filled with grace and truth, that when they walk in those doors, we're going to love them just as Christ loved us. There'll be no one that has to be turned away. There'll be no one that won't feel welcome. And that's what we're after, because everybody deserves to hear about Jesus and have the opportunity to become Christ-centered just as we are, as they see our fruits and where we go from there. So, as the band gets going, I ask you today, what kind of donut are you? What does your week look like? What are you filled with? What are you putting inside of yourself? And are you masking the outside with achievements and rewards and boasting about yourself at work and things like that, but truly there's nothing on the inside? You're empty. You have a hole inside of you. Or are you... You have pride. You have jealousy. Are you sour? Do you look sweet on the outside? Do you treat people with kindness? But then you really, once you get away from them, you're just bashing them. You talk bad about them. You tear them down to make yourself feel better. You don't realize it. Those things are filling you. And it becomes regular inside of you. And then when somebody meets you and they really get to know you, and then they find out, oh, this is what this person's really about. All that stuff was just the outside. So what kind of donut are you? I know it sounds funny, I don't know if y'all are picturing yourself as little pastries or not. but really think about it. Think about, are you emulating Christ? Are you emulating grace and truth? And when you begin to examine that, Jesus will give you opportunities to live out grace and truth. That annoying person at work will suddenly show up to your desk needing some love because they've been rejected by everybody else. The person that never smells good, they'll be hanging around you, lingering. You'll know it because you'll smell them. They'll need some love. And then when your friends are looking to fill you with stuff that you don't need, you know that it's not good to talk bad about people. You know that it's not good to slander or to be into that kind of stuff. Are you going to let them fill you with that? Or are you going to stop them and say, guys, let's try something different this time? What are you filled with? Y'all stand up, and we're going to get going to worship. And I know it's hard to do because we're in a room full of people, but I want y'all to forget about the person next to you. Just forget that they're there. It's just you are alone. It's just you and God. If you have to close your eyes, you got to walk off. Do whatever you got to do. But really think about it. And if you're filling yourself with the wrong things, ask Jesus to help you make a course correction this week. Ask him. If you ask him, be ready. Because because he's going to give you the opportunities. It's going to happen. And if you don't know Jesus, if you've never even been filled with him, you've never even known him to be in your heart, it's pretty simple, easy prayer. And come see me. Come see Hannah. Christ didn't make it hard. He wanted it to be easy to come to him. Not saying being Christian is easy, but he wanted it to be easy to come to him. So come talk to us, and we can lead you in a prayer. Super simple. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you that you've empowered us to live out grace and truth just as you did. Because of the sacrifice that you made for us, we are able to live in freedom. Freedom from the oppression of ourselves, from our fear, from our pride, from our greed, from our lust. All these things, God, we can be free from them because of the sacrifice that you made. Lord, I pray that the grace and truth of your heart would begin to pour into people right now. Everybody in this room, begin to feel your spirit, God. Begin to feel your love and to feel your freedom. Lord, as this song continues, I pray that you just bring it to our remembrance, moments, things that didn't glorify you, God, or give a good name to you. Lord, help us purge of those things. Help us, Lord. I thank you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.